Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Today is a wonderful day. Today is the day of salvation. Today a blessing. And I thank God for every day that He has provided for us to rejoice in the Lord and to serve Him and to be a part of the body of Christ. It's a privilege to know the Lord. It's a privilege to be a Christian. And if you are a believer, and I know you are, then you are a blessed person. And I want to talk to you about the blessing of God today. Specific blessings for specific people, or special blessings for special people. And I'd like to begin in Deuteronomy chapter 11. If you want to go there, we'll have it on the wall. This is the word of the Lord prior to the children of Israel going into the promised land. The promised land was a land of blessing. It was called the land of Canaan. But it was a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. As opposed to in Egypt, they had onions and garlics. I like garlic. I like a little of it, but milk and honey sounds better to me than onions and garlics. Children of Israel were in bondage, and the onions and garlics were requiring them to bend down to dig into the ground for a little nothing of food. And God came and promised them a different life, a different place to live, a different location. And it would require travel. It would require them to uproot and leave the land of captivity of Egypt and to go through the wilderness, a time of testing, a time of having their faith tried, and they would see the blessing of God. They would see the provision of God. They would see the miracles of God. But they would also encounter enemies on the way. And thirst, the need for water, the need for food. And God would provide it. He provided all of that, but they would jump the gun. And that water might not be coming. What are we going to do? And they were always saying, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And they would anticipate trouble when there was no trouble. There was water in the rock before Moses smote the rock. It was there all the time. The manna, God, that was God's idea. And they would just complain and they would worry about it. They would worry about the future. They would worry about the provisions. And they were forgetting that they were on their way to the land of Canaan. They were on their way to the land of promise. They were on their way to a place of milk and honey. And God had every need covered. But they would just jump ahead and work because they didn't know what was in the pipeline. And I want to tell you something. I want to tell all of you this. There are things in the pipeline headed your way that you know nothing about. So relax and just start praising God. There are many, many things that God has in mind for you that He's not shared with you. Because He wants you to live by faith. So He doesn't want to give you the specifics on everything. He just wants to talk to you about blessing. What does that mean? Well, it means a lot of things. It means a lot of things. So in Deuteronomy chapter 11, oh man, we wouldn't be like them. I just know, I look at the children of Israel and I think, I wouldn't be like that. Just seems stupid to me when I look at it. But then I realize, you know, I have some of the same problem. Only on a different scale. But, you know, we are challenged on every hand. We see visions of poverty. We see visions of lack. We see difficulty. We're afraid of people. We're afraid of government. We're afraid of the devil. We're afraid. We're just all around it. We're in the wilderness headed somewhere. And sometimes we forget we're headed for a destination that has been ordained of God. And God is leading you to a place of blessing, a promised land, a land of milk and honey. But we can forget while we're on the journey from captivity to blessing. There's an interim period that we're being challenged by. So I can't blame them too. I can't be too hard on them because really that's just the way flesh is. Even when you're the people of God. Well, you're the people of God. You've seen the power of God. You've experienced the mercy of God. You've experienced God's love for you. He redeemed you from the curse. He loves you with an everlasting love. You're in the family. He's your father. And you can still borrow trouble from the future that hadn't even come yet. Well, you know, we might as well just borrow the blessings that haven't come yet, since you can do either one. It's a matter of choosing what we're going to open the spigot for. Cursing or blessing. We have to go back to realizing and reminding ourselves who we are. Where we've been. Where we're going. So this is one of the last words right before they go into the promised land. The wilderness experience is over. And Moses is ready to die. And Joshua is getting ready to take over. So Moses is giving his last word. That's what the book of Deuteronomy is about. It's Deuteronomy, which is twice. Nomos will be the law, twice the law. In other words, the law the second time. Deuteronomy repeats a lot of what has been revealed in Exodus, Leviticus. And then Deuteronomy is, okay, I'm going to say this again. I'm going to say this again. Right before you get across that Jordan, right before you go to Jericho, I want to give you bottom line things. I'm going to repeat myself. God's going to tell you again the most important. And part of what he's repeating is this. Behold, bottom line. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. God sets that before his people. Not the Edomites. Not the Philistines. Not the Amalekites. But the children of Israel, his people, those that he's delivered from bondage, those that he's loved with an everlasting love, those that he has this great promised land in their destiny. He says, I lay before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. So the blessing is conditional, and it's something that you must choose. I lay before you two things. Now you choose. Joshua later, in his last word, kind of his Deuteronomy, Joshua says, choose you this day whom you will serve. He's saying the same thing. As far as me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. So Joshua had his moment in his last word, just like Moses is doing. I give you a choice, and the blessing is conditioned upon you obeying the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods, which ye have not known. And then in Galatians chapter 3, we get the New Testament version of that. Galatians 3:13. Let's look at it. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ has absorbed the curse from the penalty of the law. Of which no man can be perfect. No man can keep all the law. Everybody has sinned. We've all sinned. And we come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And that's the curse. And it's from God. It's God. It's not the devil. But it's God that says the day that you sin, you should surely die. The wages of sin is death from God. But the gift of God is from God too. So it's in the New Testament, we have the same concept. The wages of sin is death. That's the curse. But I'm also offering you, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's the blessing. So again, it's the same in the New Testament as it is in the Old. In the Old Testament, you have a choice. You keep the law and be blessed, or you violate the law and be cursed. In the New Testament, it says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Because somebody might say, but I'm not a Jew. I'm not of the stock of Abraham. I'm not of Israel. I'm not from that Jewish lineage and destiny and promise. That's all right. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay, because this word is for Jew and Gentile. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. It doesn't say the blessing of Moses or the blessing of the law, because Moses represented the law of what is wrong with you. The law said, this is what is wrong with you. It's a schoolmaster. It's a school, a cruel schoolmaster to drive you to Christ, where you will say, God, I can't keep the law. I'm not perfect. My sins are overwhelming me. Please, God, be merciful. So the law came by Moses, but truth and mercy came through Jesus Christ. And so when Christ comes, he redeems us from the curse of the law and puts us not into Moses, but he puts us into Abraham that came before Moses. The just shall live by faith. Where do we go to get that example? And where do we get our heavenly ancestor and our example? We go to Abraham. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Abraham is blessed. He said that God told Abraham, through you, all nations will be blessed. So that's Gentiles. So Paul tells the Galatians that the blessing of Abraham might, oh, there's that choice, might not. Right? You see that? I lay before you, Joshua, choose this day. Same thing. God intends that the blessing of Abraham come upon all of us because we have Jesus, and Jesus is the seed singular of Abraham. He's not the seed of the law. He's not the seed of Moses. He is the seed of Abraham, the father of faith, who was promised the whole cotton picking land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey. So through Christ, the blessing of Abraham comes to us that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. Jesus talked a lot about the blessing. About the blessing. About the goodness of God. And that God had blessings for his people. And yet, it was not for just the common person on the street. You know, I said this morning on my podcast that God loves everybody. But he doesn't bless everybody. At least not in the same way. There are blessings that even the sinner participates in. That's what I call generic blessings. He gives you water to drink. You could be a wicked person and you drink the water that God provided for you. And he probably doesn't give thanks to God for it. He doesn't realize that God has blessed. Because you're a human, you have been blessed with generic blessings of creation. Water, oxygen, sunshine. The crops will grow for the wicked. Crops will grow for the righteous. God has so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever will, let him come to the rivers. It's that choice. You can choose to be saved. You can just not do anything and stay lost. You can choose to be blessed, or you can choose to be under the law. Of which, if you're under the law, you better be perfect at it, because you're going to be in trouble unless you're perfect. Well, I hadn't met anybody that could do it. So we just cry, Abba, Abba. Christ says, or God says, come on into the house. You're my children because you have received the cross. You have received the payment of your sin. So you don't have a sin problem anymore. Now, we're perfect. But in Christ, based on these verses, we do not have a sin problem anymore. And that's what brings the curse, is the sin problem. You say, yeah, but I've sinned. Yeah, but in Christ, you don't have a problem with it. Because God does not hold your sin against you. He doesn't deprive you of the blessing. He gives before you. You can take a curse or you can take a blessing. It's up to you. You say, well, how could I be blessed because I've sinned? Because of the cross. The wages of sin is death, but Christ died in your place. It's the doctrine of atonement. It's the doctrine of the vicarious substitutional sacrifice, that Jesus died not for his own sin, but Christ died for your sin. So you don't have a sin problem that would block you from what God really wants to give you, and that's a blessing. But you can't be blessed if you have a sin problem. That's the curse. And God provides the curse. He provides the blessing. God puts people in hell, he puts them in heaven. And where you end up after you die will be based upon not whether God loved you or not. It will be based on what did you do with Jesus? What did you do with the cross? When God said, I give you blessing and cursing. Choose you this day whom you will serve. So in the ministry of Jesus, he has 12 apostles, disciples. And he wants to sit down and talk to them like Moses sat down and talked to Israel. And in chapter 5, verse 1 of Matthew, it says, seeing the multitudes, he went up to a mountain. There are three categories of people that were in the audience of Jesus during his earthly ministry. Three categories of people. And here's two categories of them in this first introduction. Two of the three are given to us. There are multitudes and there are disciples. That's two categories of people. The multitudes are blessed in a way. How were the multitudes blessed? When Jesus, and he loved the multitudes, he had compassion on them. He gave them what? Gave them fish and bread. Gave them parables. Gave them a lot of parables. Gave them a lot of teaching. The main blessing of the multitudes was when what they were expecting in healing, physical blessings, and bread and fish. They really liked that. In fact, they gathered again later and wanted to do that again. Let's have another picnic like that. Boy. And so the multitudes, we can't say the multitudes were not blessed. They were. But if you look at the blessings and the destiny of the multitudes, they were like many of the children of Israel in the wilderness. They eventually fall off to the side. They don't endure to the end. Little persecution comes. Let's go back to Egypt. I just think we should go back to Egypt because we had our steady meal in Egypt. What'd you have? Well, we had some onions and garlics. And what is God giving you now? Well, it's angel food. That sounds better to me. No, we're getting tired of angel food. We just have the same thing, same diet. These are like the multitudes. Their mind is on the food. Their mind is on physical. Their mind is on their bodies. Their mind is on the material. They're not thinking. God is worthy of my service. He's worthy of my love. He's worthy of my faith. I'm going to be faithful to him whether he gives me manna or water or whatever. God has delivered me and forever I will be thankful to him. I'm not going to worry about my body. I'm not going to worry about my food. I'm not going to worry about my money. I'm not going to worry about any of that. I'm just going to the promised land. I'm latching on to Moses. I'm not leaving him. I'm going to where God has ordained me to be. But multitudes will never make it to the end. Jesus wondered about this himself. He said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? He says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. So out of that bunch of over a million people that went out into the wilderness, it was only the young people that made it. And Joshua and Caleb, and some of the priests. The bulk of the older elders never made it. The common man on the street was also delivered, but they didn't make it to the end. They started out really good when they crossed the Red Sea. They all crossed the Red Sea. They all shared in the miracle power of God's deliverance. But once they got to the wilderness, then we see two groups. We see disciples and we see multitudes. And in this Sermon on the Mount, you have those two same groups. You have the multitudes. And Jesus saw the multitudes. He had compassion on the multitudes. Later, he fed the multitudes. He healed their sick. He loved them. They're part of God's ministry. But when he sees the multitude in verse 1, he leaves the multitude. He goes up to the mountain and 12, just 12 men come up, climb the mountain, And Jesus sat and taught 12 people. Now, in a lot of the movies about Jesus, they show this part as Jesus teaching the multitudes the Sermon on the Mount. But verse 1 says, seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. Them. That pronoun refers to the antecedent of disciples. The Sermon on the Mount, when you look at it, it's not for the multitude. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus didn't teach them except through parables. The Bible says that. That Jesus did not teach the multitudes except through parables. And the Sermon on the Mount is not a sermon of parables. So it didn't fit. So they have that wrong. Most movies will have it wrong. If you'll notice in the movies, they'll have Jesus with the Sermon on the Mount with thousands of people out there. Same group as he fed the bread and fish. It's just not true. He would never give the Sermon on the Mount, which is meat. It's beefsteak. It is food for the mature. It's those who are going to suffer for Christ. It's for people who will lead the money tables. It's the people that will lead the nets and the boats and the fish and give all and pick up their cross and follow him. It's just a few that's going to get this message. Now, the third group would be the enemies of Christ, which would be the Pharisees and Sadducees and the lawyers and priests and the elders of Israel. Those were enemies. And they obviously are not recipients of the blessing. Multitudes receive bread and fish, but the disciples are hearing truth that will set them free. They're hearing truth that will get them in trouble with the religious institutions and the establishment. It'll get them in trouble with their families. It'll cause them to suffer. It'll cause them to have to uproot from their families and travel and move. All the disciples moved eventually, and all of them lost their lives. And they lost their lives because they weren't part of the multitude. And so Jesus begins to talk to this select group of people about a select special blessing or blessings. And so I just give you this sample of he opened his mouth and taught the disciples saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So we find blessing, and he doesn't define what that is. It's just the blessing of God. There are many examples of what that could be, but just it's not important for you to identify every single possible blessing that can come into your life. Just the truth of God's blessing to the disciples, to people who've left all, to people who are serious Christians. That the blessing is given presently. I want you to notice the tense. Blessed are, not shall be. But blessed are now, present, the poor in spirit. That simply means humble people. Humble. They're not into materialism. They're not into the bread and fish as a priority. They want to follow a leader. They want the Messiah. They want to see the Messiah as he fulfills all the prophecies of Scripture. They want to get into the word of the prophets. They want to see what Christ has come to do. They want to learn from the Master. And he is saying, blessed are you, humble people, spiritual people. And the reason you're blessed, the foundation of your blessing, is that you own the kingdom of heaven. Yours is, not just you're in the kingdom, you're going to be in the kingdom, pie in the sky by and by. I'm telling you, this first beatitude is a blessing itself in that it pronounces blessings for a reason. Blessing when? When you get to heaven? No, right now. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That identifies a group of people, of disciples that are on the earth, and they are humble people. They have no certain dwelling place. Many of them now are just, they're traveling with an itinerant preacher across throughout Galilee and Judea, and they just go wherever he goes. They're not in charge. They are not in charge of their life. If Jesus said, I must go through Samaria, they may not understand that, but they go through Samaria. Well, Lord, are you sure? Go to Samaria. Time to go to Jerusalem. Okay, here we go. It's dangerous up there, Lord. It's dangerous up in Jerusalem. Let's go. Okay. They're not in control. It's just like when Moses was leading the children of Israel and he offers curse or blessing. Moses is in charge. If they rebel, they're in big trouble. So we have a principle that there are blessings that come to disciples because of what you possess. Former fishermen, former tax collectors, ragtag group of uneducated people. And Jesus begins this, you're blessed because you own the kingdom of heaven. Yours is. It's possessive. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. And boy, you just have to have the word to remind yourself as you're walking this earth. Not only am I in the kingdom of heaven is mine. That manna that God gives is your manna. And you are blessed because God gives you manna right now. Right now. So you're blessed because of a condition that is present. So that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. I am blessed because what I am presently blessed because of what I presently own. So there's a sense of wealth here. There's a sense of acquiring through gift and mercy and grace treasures of the kingdom of God. It's not a spirit of poverty. You're blessed because you own the kingdom of heaven. I'm not even in heaven yet. I'm still on earth. Have you ever noticed that? You're still here. And yet you possess something that's a heavenly reality. And you didn't have to die to get it. Praise God. Boy, this is wonderful stuff. And some of you are not catching on yet. I said that the other day, and Linda Michaud said, that's because we're just stunned with the profound truth of what you just said. Boy, she knows how to come back. I said, whoa, Linda, thank you. You are blessed on earth because you possess things that are heavenly centered, kingdom of heaven. Think about that. I'm not blessed because I'm a Democrat or Republican or I'm in leadership or whatever. You may or may not be in government, and I hope you can be, and that'd be a blessing. That'd be a blessing, but that's not what this is talking about. Most people of God are not in leadership in human government. Most people are not. But in Christ, I've been redeemed from the curse, and part of the blessing that has been given to me, the blessing of Abraham, is to rule and reign over the earth. And I'm blessed before I actually get to heaven. I'm blessed before I get to the millennium. Any knucklehead knows that when you're in the millennium, it's blessing. I got blessing. Everybody knows if you die and go to heaven, boy, you're blessed. Yeah, you got the blessing. But you know what a lot of people don't know? You're in the wilderness and God's giving you angel food to eat. He's giving you water from the rock. He's giving you food and drink. That's miracle stuff. And you're still in the wilderness. And you haven't even got to the land of Canaan yet. Boy, isn't that a wonderful thing? Amen. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. I don't have to wait for it. Blessing is now because of what I have now. But the next beatitude is totally different. And this is so good. It'll make you want to jump up and slap your grandma. Make you drop your hat. It's so wonderful. The next blessing, the next beatitude works differently. And there's several of these too. And I'll just give you a sample. Blessed are they. Oh, it's still the same. Blessing is when. But what's the tense? Blessed are, right? Blessed are. That means not shall be, not was. But right now, blessing right now. For who? For they that mourn. Richard Labanway and Judith Digby and some others mourning still. We've all been there, and we're going to have some more. Blessed are they that mourn. It takes more faith on this one. If I have the kingdom, if I own the kingdom right now, I can understand how I'd be blessed right now. But this is also a blessing right now, but it's based on something that requires more depth of spirit and faith. Because it's almost like counterintuitive. It's kind of like God telling Abraham that has no children, your seed will be as the sands of the seashore. It's kind of like that word. You are going to be a father of a multitude. In fact, I want you to change your name from Abram to Abraham. That means father of a multitude. So he has a name, but he has no kids. He has to go around claiming, my name is Abraham. What's your name? Nice to meet you. What's your name? Abraham. Oh, got a bunch of kids, huh? All right, where are they at? I don't have any. What? Yeah, I used to be Abram, but now I'm Abraham. Why'd you change your name when you don't even have any kids? It's like counterintuitive. But Abraham is a man of faith. If God says you're a father of a multitude, I will bless all nations through your seed, you can just go ahead and change your name. And stand on the word, even though you don't see it happen. And this blessing, it works the same way. Blessed are they that mourn. I don't normally associate mourning with blessing. And I know Judith and Richard, they don't think of it that way. We don't think of it that way. This truth is spiritual truth. This truth is kingdom truth and facts. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Oh my. Different than that first one. What it has in common is the blessing is now. And really, when you think about it, that's the most important thing. I don't have to wait for the blessing, right? Blessing is now. Blessed are. The tense is so important in these Beatitudes. The key of interpreting the Beatitudes is to notice the tense of all verbs. It's just pregnant with truth. But it's truth that requires you to just trust God and say, so be it. And that is that those that mourn are blessed now because of what God's going to do in the future. It's like what God tells you is coming provides you a blessing now before it comes. It's like you borrow the benefit of something that hasn't come yet. It's kind of like we do... When you work for somebody, you have an employer. You go to work for a business or an employer. You go into work and you say, okay, we're going to give you so much an hour. And you say, oh, man. And you go home and you tell your spouse or your children, I got a job. I got a job. You hadn't even been to work yet. I got a job. You have an agreement. You have a contract. And hopefully you know what you're going to make. And because of the promise of the future paycheck, you go ahead and work right now and enjoy the labor. You know, knowing that you're making money. You don't have the money, but you know I'm making the money. I'm making a living. I can tell my kids, yeah, you're going to have presents under the tree this Christmas. Daddy's got a job. And you don't work an hour and then the employer's walking around following you. Okay, here's your $10. Here's your $20. Okay, you work another. Okay. They don't fork it out like that. You got to trust the job. You got to trust the boss. You got to trust the authority. You have to trust the contract. God says those that mourn, they are going in the future to be comforted. And that truth gives me a blessing right now. Blessed are those that mourn. Why? Because they're going to be comforted. And so God has the carrot out there. Here's what I'm going to do for you. Now go ahead and feel better about your life. I'm going to bless your socks off now. And the reason I'm going to go ahead and bless you now is this is what I'm going to do for you in the future. This is what is going to happen in the future. And your knowledge of that, you're going to be able to enjoy the blessing of it even before it comes. It's like people receive a promise of something from somebody they trust, like a father, like a child. That the parents say, you're going to get a new bicycle for Christmas. Or I'm going to give you a bicycle for your birthday. Or I'm going to do this. I'm going to take you to Disneyland. We're going to go on vacation. We're going to Disneyland in 6 months. And you tell the kid that. Kid goes to school and tells everybody, I'm going to Disneyland. And the child feels excited. That's the blessing. The child hasn't been to Disneyland. But just that trust of the future message of somebody they love and they know would not lie to them, the child is blessed with just the planning of Disneyland, just the thoughts of Disneyland. The anticipation is the blessing of that which you know is coming. It's called hope. And the Bible says in Romans, hope will save you in this present hour. You don't have to have God doing it for you to be blessed. You just have to have the announcement of it. Well, I'm excited. This is the life of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the announcement of what God is going to do. And when you take that up and you start getting excited, well, who couldn't use a little bit more excitement in this life? You say, well, if I get a raise, I'll get excited. If I get this, I'll get excited. I'll be excited. Well, I'll feel better if God will do it. Then when he does it, I will be blessed. Of course you will. But most of the Beatitudes, most of them work like the second one. A couple of them work because you're blessed because of what God's doing right now. And that's the more simple. But the bulk of the Beatitudes is based on this principle. And you'll never understand the Beatitudes, which is the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. And you can't understand the Sermon on the Mount without this concept of, I must respond now by faith. God is going to bless me now by faith, based upon some things that I have now and based on many things that I don't have. But God says I'm going to have them, and I'm just going to go ahead and party before it happens. I'm going to rejoice. And when we come together, we're not coming together to worship on Sunday morning because of just the things that God has done for us already through the week. We're here to proclaim what God is going to do. Oh, Brother Dennis, man, he knows how to get it going. Thank you, brother. You've done that before. Thank you. And you're not clapping for me. I don't care about that. But I like giving God a hand of praise. Let's give God a hand of praise. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you, there are a lot of preachers that could explain this better than I can. But I'm doing the best I can to explain it on the tense of these verbs. It's so important. Because it is the principle of faith. That God is not asking you to wait on your blessing. Blessed are those that mourn. He goes on, blessed are the meek. The next one. Blessed are the meek. Same principle. For they shall inherit the earth. See that principle? Blessed are, present tense, the meek. That means self-controlled and humble and quiet spirit. Not audacious. Not pushy. But meek. People that are meek are blessed now because of what is coming in the future. And that is, and this is no little thing, you're going to inherit the earth. I can't even imagine what that would be like. I've inherited, let's see, what have I inherited in my life? Well, I inherited an old bathrobe that my dad, I still have that. And I have an old .22 rifle, I inherited that. And those are the two things that I have from my dad that died when I was 7. And so I have that. Still have it, and it means a lot to me. It's really important. But blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So Let's say I don't have a dime to my name, but I trust in Christ. He's redeemed me from the curse, and I've chosen the blessings to the curse. And I'm poor as Job's turkey. And I don't know anybody important. Maybe all my kin folks are dead. I'm just out here all by myself, and I don't know what my future is going to be. I'm struggling in so many different ways, maybe. This verse is for you. This verse is for you. Doesn't matter how much you own in this life, or how famous you are or infamous you are. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So do you have that consciousness that you're going into the promised land and you're going to inherit, and everywhere your feet walk, you're going to own it? That you're going to rule and reign with Christ? Does that ever cross your mind when you're suffering, or you're having a challenge, or you're hurting, or you're suffering? And going to inherit the earth. Whew, man. So we don't look at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen, that's based on the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. God says, I'm going to inherit the earth. And I'm blessed, not when I actually inherit the earth. I'm blessed now because of what I'm going to have in the future. I'm blessed because of what I have now. Because I have the kingdom of heaven. But guess what? I have that now. But in the future, I'm going to inherit the earth. So you got heaven and earth. It just blows my mind. I'm from Arkadelphia. And I'm going to sit with him on his throne. I have the kingdom of heaven. And someday, I'm going to inherit the earth. And I'm from Arkadelphia. Well, so what? Jesus was from Nazareth, and he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God has highly exalted Jesus, and God has highly exalted us as well. And we need to just go ahead and enjoy the news of that. Enjoy the Word. Just, that's all we got is the Word. Can we trust that Word? If you can trust that he died on the cross, and you can trust that you're going to go to heaven when you die, if you can trust him to forgive you of your sins, you ought to be able to trust this too. Same Lord and same Savior that's given us all of his Word. And you can go on, and I just wanted to give you the principle, and you can read the rest of them, because it's the same. Listen to me. It's the same template through the whole group of Beatitudes. So if you know the two kinds of Beatitudes and the principles of blessed now because of what I have now, plus the bulk of them, which is I'm blessed now because of what's going to happen or what's going to come or what I'm going to possess in the future. You got it. Because they all work the same way. And the thing that they all have in common is you are blessed. There's not any of them that says you're going to be having to wait for the blessing. Like the children of Israel didn't have to wait till they got to Canaan to see miracles. They had miracles in the deliverance. They had miracles in the wilderness. And they had miracles transitioning into the land of Canaan there by Jericho, crossing the Jordan River. The blessing was the constant. The specifics of their circumstances were constantly changing. So your circumstances are changing. Some of you make more money now than you've ever made. Some of you may be making less than what you've made in the past. Some of you don't make a lot of money, maybe. Some of you make maybe good money. I hope that's the case. Circumstances change. You may live in a place now that you didn't live before. Some of you may be thinking about selling your house and buying another one. Maybe a bigger one, a better one. Circumstances change. Your car, nice car, but it gets old and you have to replace it. Change it. You got beautiful little kids, but then they grow up to be, well, I'm not going to say that. just teasing. Beautiful little kids grow up to be beautiful young people and then beautiful adults. But they're changing. The kids leave. Isn't that sad? I hate it. I still wish Jeremy and Julie were at home. And Preston moved out, and I just miss them. And then the grandkids, and just my life just changed. Their lives are changing. My life change. Children of Israel, change. Go here. Get up. Okay, go. Pick up the tent. Let's go. okay, stop. Look, camp here for a while. And it was just constant. It's almost like God was just giving them a test by allowing them to have all these changes in their lives. And a lot of times when their circumstances changed, their faith changed. That's multitude mentality. Never aspire to be part of the majority. Because they'll come up with a great idea one time when they get a little thirsty. And their idea is, let's go back to Egypt. And that's where a lot of folks are headed right now. They're going back into the world. They've been to the altar and now they're going to the bar. Or they're going to, you know, just do their own thing. Then they never get to the promised land. They never see fulfilled what God promised them. When they came to the altar and gave their heart to Christ, God took them at their word. He forgave all their sin, gave them an inheritance. You're headed for the promised land, buddy. When you get up from that altar, you're headed for the promised land. I've laid before you blessing and curse. When you come to the altar, you've chosen, I take the blessing. And so they cross the Red Sea, but they don't cross the Jordan River. And you got to cross both of them to get to your destiny. A lot of people cross the Red Sea, but they're not there. They're just not there when Joshua says, okay, let's go, let's cross over to the other side. Let's go to Jericho. Let's march around. Let's get the Ark of the Covenant. Let's see the power of God over our enemies. Let's possess the land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's go take what God promised. When it came time for heaven, when it came time for the promises to be fulfilled, when it came time for the millennium or whatever it was, when it came time for the climax of what the whole exercise was for you to get to perfection and to get to the victory that God has called you to. The whole point of the exercise and all the changes is for you to develop faith and consistency. And many of God's people are not even there to cross the Jordan. And the Jordan is almost nothing compared to the Red Sea. The bulk of their sins, their old life, they were delivered. And then they turn around, like Peter said, the dog returns to his vomit. Returns. And God forbid that we could allow some trials and tribulations that are going to come. We can't allow that to cause us to forfeit the blessing. We are the children of Abraham. He is the father of our faith. Christ has removed the sin problem. You say, yeah, but I did. I don't care what you did. Christ died for you. He took care of the sin problem. And there's no reason why God can't bless your socks off. You do not have a sin problem if you're in Christ. He came to cleanse you from sin, to cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. Whiter than snow, there is no sin in my heart. There's nothing that separates me from the fellowship of God. Why can't God provide for me? Why can't God bless me? Why, when the word of God says that I am partakers of the blessing of Abraham, why can't I take that and run with it? Because much of it is based on not what I see, but what I hear. What's coming in the future. Oh, man. So I have reason to get up on Monday morning and say, praise God. Man, I'm heading somewhere. Maybe your air conditioning doesn't work. Jeremy's air conditioning has been out over a week. Can you imagine that? The guy's on vacation. The heat and air man's on vacation and he's burning up. Not very good. Well, I tell Jeremy, cooler days are coming. Cool not today, but thank God that guy's going to show up and he's eventually going to get out of Florida, get back home and fix that. And if he doesn't do it, I'll recommend another heating and air guy for you that will do it. But I can guarantee Jeremy's going to be cool in the future. So I'm not going to worry too much about it. I hate that he's burning up now, but I know where we're going on that. I know where we're going. Glory to God. Jeremy, you didn't mind me saying that, did you? You know, one thing about being preacher's kid, but you're gonna get mentioned. I guess they're used to it. Poor Preston, Julie, and Jeremy. But I love them. And I love you. I love you. And all of you on live stream, I love you too. And I want blessings for all of us. And I see no reason why we can't make a stand today before we leave and just remind ourselves that we are the children of promise. We could go with the curse if we wanted to. We could go with unbelief. We can be despondent, depressed, and stressed if you want to. You can be miserable if you want to. That's a choice. But you can shake it off in the fire like Paul did the snake and say, you know, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to lay claim to the promise of Abraham. When Christ died on the cross for me, he wasn't wasting his time. He wasn't wasting his blood. He accomplished something. Now, we know that theoretically, but in your own life, did Christ accomplish something on the cross for you? Did it make a difference in your life? Are you a new creature? Are you just a, you know, somebody that's getting a little tune-up? He's not come to give you a little tune-up. He's come to give you a whole new life. A whole brand new engine in that thing. New creature. Old things are passed away. Old worries, old fears, old sins, old guilt, all of it. New creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand and rejoice. I can't quit laughing for some reason. Oh, I feel it in my bones. Don't you just love the Lord? God's word is true. You are the children of the Most High God. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You would show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's marvelous. God is not here to help you a little bit. He's here to push you into the promised land. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.